This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 3rd of December, with me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello.
We've got three guests to talk to because we're going to talk to Deb again in the second half of the show. We've got loads of things to cover.
I just got really into all the property stuff and I find it fascinating, actually. I think I'll have to take Deb's out for a little soiree.
Well, do you know back in the day, we had a property show on this channel that was very popular.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the chap that did it became unwell and was unable to do it anymore. And I've had a couple of people approach me in the past and say, oh, could they do a property show? But nothing's ever come to it. And I think that's a shame because there's a lot to talk about property.
It's my passion, residential, but I'm sure we could meet in the middle.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and commercial into residential and residential into commercial. I'm quite interested in all that as well. Buying a little laundrette or something with a flat over the top.
Some massive property networks actually in Kent. Mm. So there's one based in Rochester. There's one based actually, I think, down in Romney.
Yeah.
So some good property networks out there. Lots of experts. Let's look up after Christmas.
I actually spoke at a new networking event.
No, you
event.
Didn't speak.
Shut up.
You didn't open an event, did you?
No, I didn't open it. I spoke at it. I was a keynote speaker.
He speaks at everything in Kent.
Thank you.
He's very popular.
I don't need two of you to gang up on me, thank you.
No, I was being complimentary.
Well, I'm trying to tell you something.
Yes, we're not ganging up, are we? We're impressed with him.
I did a talk at a new networking event specifically for property and people involved in the property and homes market next door to your house, so you couldn't make it there.
Oh.
At a Marine Hotel.
Yes.
In Tankerton.
With the lovely
Beth Rossiter, yeah. Which is next door. I mean, literally, actually next door to Jules's house, but she couldn't make it.
Yeah. I can't remember why.
But she is keen on property.
I think I was in Amsterdam.
You were wending your way around the world somewhere.
Yeah, I was eating stroopwafel.
You were just trying to avoid listening to me, I know.
No, I didn't know you were talking about property.
I've been dreaming about
it. I wasn't talking about property. I don't know anything about property. I'm not a property person.
So what were you doing, opening the event?
No, I've just told you twice. You never listen, do you?
You haven't really said what you did.
I said I gave a keynote speech.
On what, though?
I'm not telling you. You should have been there.
Oh, right.
You should have been there. It was fabulous. The knowledge I imparted was unbelievable. And if only you'd have been there, Jules.
And was it downstairs?
Downstairs what?
In the Marine Hotel? Or which room? In that room at the back?
Yeah, no, at the side. When you go through the reception, the room on the left, in front of a bigger room where there was another event going on at the same time.
I had a disco down there with John Nerden once.
Did you?
My parents' anniversary.
A disco?
Yeah.
That would have been 1964.
A disco? Yeah, don't they have discos anymore? What do they have now?
Dear.
Raves?
No, discos went out of fashion about 1978.
What do they have now? Garage?
Oh, God knows.
Best place
I don't know.
For it, I think. Yeah. Yeah. What do they have? I don't know.
I don't know.
They have raves, don't they?
I still like a disco.
Do you?
I think even rave is past it now. Yeah. I think raves are over.
Well, I'll tell you what.
They don't dance anymore.
When Flirty's clogs arrive from Finland, we're going to have her back on the
exactly.
dance floor in those. Yeah.
With some bell bottoms. Yeah.
Cool. What you got, Jules?
Well, I've got the Kenwood Trust again. Rye networking over coffee. This is the 17th of November. That's coming up at the King's Head Inn in Rye. The details are on kentbusinessradio.co.uk with a /marsh-networking. And, of course, that is the Terry Botfield that Paul mentioned earlier. And you can email him if you want to go on the 17th of November at terry@botfield.net. What else?
Is that 2020?
Yeah, no, 17th of November. Now. December. No, there is a November, but it's crossed out. Sorry. Fruitworks.
You can't get the staff.
No,
you really can't. Yeah.
Fruitworks.
She's lucky to get minimum wage. She really is.
Fruitworks community workspace is expanding.
Mm-hmm.
And they say we have easy access, no long-term commitment, hot desk, fixed desk and small private office space available in the expanded Fruitworks in Canterbury. And you can email hello@fruitworks.co. For details or see the website fruitworks.co. with a lift going in soon.
We're not having a lift. We are not having a lift. We are not having a lift. We have got 8,000 square feet, though, now.
So you've got the bit at the back now, haven't you?
We've got a bit both sides, yeah.
Very good. I've seen some really nice pictures, and you've got a nice event space.
We're creating an event space at the moment, although Wayne, who's doing it, rang in sick this morning, so it's come to a bit of a halt right now, but... we're creating an event space with a stage.
Is Wayne a builder?
Yeah, Wayne's the builder.
I have his number. You can't get builders now, can
yeah,
you?
Yeah, no, you might remember Wayne from our Fui Design Pet, if you're that old.
Is that him?
No. Oh.
I remember John Wayne.
No, Wayne's brilliant. He's really good. He's a good lad.
You can't find a builder, Paul Andrews.
Well, we're converting it into an event space. We built a stage because, I don't know if you know, every Thursday between October and March, we have events in the evening. We have poetry recitals, piano recitals, open mic evenings with a group called Free Range, who also do small troupe
Eggs.
Plays. No, they do plays with, you know, like three characters in and stuff like that. And we've been doing that for a couple of years. So we've built a stage this time just so it looks better.
Yeah,
and the space will be available to rent for everything from yoga classes to seminars.
How many can you seat there?
Seating-wise, you could probably get between 50, 75 people in, depending on the style.
It's a similar size to the Penny Theatre that I used to do. The
It is, yeah, yeah.
We used to have some really good bands down there. Are you allowed to have bands? Or is there something
you know what the council are like with music. I have got a drinks licence for the evening.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, well, the council like a tipple. They're fine with that. It's just don't like the noise. Mm. Yeah. But having said that, you know, we've got the Foundry one side of us where they have live bands, so it'd probably be band wars if we put a band on as well. It would just be a cacophony of noise, wouldn't it?
I'm wondering about that. You're into commercial. The side of the abode, that restaurant there, that's
the old brewery,
has been empty for ages.
Yeah, well, it's weird. I don't know what
Very
they did.
Odd.
With it. Well, they make all their money in the evening. It's open in the evenings. It's a nightclub.
Is
in
it?
It's a nightclub in the evenings.
Okay.
It used to be a bistro during the day,
and
it was always very popular. And then all of a sudden, it just closed. But I think it's because they make all their money in the evening. It's rammed out there past 6 o'clock of the night. It's absolutely rammed.
So they probably can't be bothered to staff it in the day. It's
and they probably can't staff it or do it in the day, and they spend all day clearing up after the night before.
Yeah, it looks a bit of a mess when you go by. I was wondering.
Yeah.
I've got a little email here from Dandelion Time.
Right.
And they say they'll be holding a Christmas craft fair in West Farley. Where's West Farley?
Near Maidstone.
Near Maidstone, yeah.
Maidstone is definitely...
It's just round the corner from Yalding, actually.
Okay. So it's Sunday the 8th of December at 11 until 3 p.m. And they say there'll be so much to do and see, craft activities, stalls, music. And the various craft activities will be themed around Christmas. Wreath making with sourced willow and greenery from our woodlands. Felting with wool from our sheep. Pottery, gingerbread houses. Oh, I love a gingerbread house. Wooden reindeers and much, much more. We'd love the community to join us for a fun, festive family day. Try the hands-on activities we offer to the children and families who attend our service. Make something beautiful to take home to decorate your house or gift to friends and family. Dandelion Tea Room will be open for refreshments and delicious homemade cakes and hot food. Plenty of parking and free admission. And there's a bus stop in Charlton Lane, the number 23. Goulston Bungalows is the stop you need to get off. And you can go to dandeliontime.org.uk to find out more. And if you can't go, you can support them by joining the Big Give Challenge. The details are dandeliontime.org.uk. And all donations during campaign week will be doubled, they say. So that's Sunday the 8th of December. So that's this Sunday, isn't it?
It is.
Of 2019, Deborah.
Thank you. Funnily enough, were you talking about West Farley? Jules is famous for non-pronunciation of famous Kentish place names. I had a lovely one during the week. Kirsty Allsop of Property Fame tweeted me. She's doing a voiceover, right? And she said, you'll love this. She said, how do you pronounce Westmoreland? Yeah.
Oh, no.
And I went, don't ask Jules, yeah, because she doesn't know. I said, it's Morling, and Maul as in all. Yeah,
not Malling.
Not Malling.
It's all wrong, isn't it? Yeah. What's the other one? Ickham?
Ickham.
Yeah.
And Trottiscliff.
Yeah.
Well, and that, but that is kind of understandable because it's Trosley, but yeah.
It's very, very strange. The words are. What language is it originally?
English.
Elizabethan.
English.
It's ye old English, isn't it? I mean, the spelling is just not.
A lot of the names are Saxon. That is true.
Are.
Yeah,
Saxon.
It is Saxon.
I knew it was something.
There's another one, Tunbridge, but I can't remember. That's the same.
Yeah, well,
it's
even the Tunbridge and Tunbridge.
Well, yes.
Tonbridge and Tunbridge. I mean, what's all that about?
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Absolutely. There's a reason why there's a difference in those names.
Just to annoy me.
No. A ton and a ton are different things.
Well, I'm sure they are.
Yeah.
But it still annoys me.
One beer and one await?
Yeah. No, they're both Anglo-Saxon terms. It's surprising how many Anglo-Saxon terms there are about. So,
Paul and I, in our heyday in Romney Marsh, with our little porcupine, we used to do whole shows in Elizabethan.
Yeah, we did. Right, I need to tell you about this, and then I want to talk to our guests. But this is an important breakthrough, I feel, and I've told the guy who's doing this that I'm going to promote it, help him promote it. It's a new engineering training program, and it's to bring low-skilled and unemployed people into manufacturing and engineering. And he asked the question, do you know the average age of a qualified engineer in the UK at the moment?
A qualified
engineer. Do you know what the average age is?
45.
45?
Really?
50.
57.
Yeah. Wow.
Oh. Children.
So there's no young ones?
No. The average age of an engineer, a qualified engineer in the UK is 57.
And is that any type of engineer?
Yeah. Anybody working in engineering and manufacturing. In Jobs in Kent, we have a client in Sevenoaks, and they were so struggling to get engineers back that they persuaded a 78-year-old ex-engineer of theirs to come out of retirement to come back to work. Anyway, we're going to try and do something about it. Engineering companies that I talk to are having difficulties in recruiting the next generation of engineers, and they need help in the recruitment and training of the skilled workforce. Without bringing in the next generation of engineers to the industry, many companies' futures are at risk. We're the ninth biggest manufacturing nation on earth, and we need to do this. So we've been working on a new and innovative training program to give new entrants to the industry engineering skills and experiences so that they can contribute to your business quickly. Boosting Human Capital in the 21st Century, or BHC 21, will take young unemployed or low-skilled adults and train them using state-of-the-art training techniques such as virtual reality welding to acquire new skills rapidly. I want to have a go at that, virtual reality welding. Yeah. The training program will be practical and on the job, with every trainee carrying out a work placement in an engineering environment. In industry, they will be trained and guided by work coaches, senior experienced engineers who are undertaking their own training in teaching skills. I'm excited to say that we have an experienced and passionate team delivering this project, which includes a partnership between Mid Kent College, the University of Greenwich and the Tavistock Institute, who are a research organisation. Job Centre Plus has also joined in to help recruit young adults who are in need of a second chance, a leg up to a higher skilled, higher paid job. And our first cohort of training covering Medway, Mason and Swale starts next February 2020. We are now looking for employers who would like to take part in this free project. It's fully funded. It is totally free to participate in, and to be happy to offer a training placement which costs you nothing.
Wow.
Yeah. So if you're an engineering or manufacturing company and you want to take part, please get in touch with Guy Robinson. He's the project leader for Boosting Human Capital 21 project, and you can get in contact with him by emailing him at guy.robinson@kent.gov.uk.
Brilliant.
So that's fantastic. Please, if you run an engineering or manufacturing business, please get in touch. It's to your own benefit. It's not going to cost you a penny, and you're going to be able to look at potentially recruiting some new, younger, more vibrant engineers.
Guy Robinson should come to the summit.
He should indeed.
We've got a workshop on technical skills development.
Absolutely.
And he could share his project with the audience and maybe find some partners there.
Absolutely. And I shall pass that sentiment on, because you're absolutely right, Fludgy. Cool. I need to tell you about this, and then we're going to talk to our guests. Are you struggling with what to post on your social media profiles?
No,
you just post pictures of me when I'm not looking, don't you?
Yeah.
Trying to keep up to date with the latest updates and trends? We have a solution. This is ZC Social Media, and they have Start Social, which is social media in a box. Okay. It's not your standard journal. A journal with online training resources and one you can buy any time of the year and will have up to 15 months of planning tools. And it includes, this isn't a definitive list, this is just some of the stuff I pulled off the website, yeah? Social media strategy plan and journal for 2020. A content strategy calendar and templates. The little book of content ideas. A social media engagement manual. And a social media strategy video course and library. Okay, they're just some of the things that are available from Social Media in a Box from ZC Social Media. If you want to find out everything and all that's involved, if you go to zcsocialmedia.clickfunnels.com/salespage. I've put the link on the Kent Business Radio website, but I'll tell you that again. It's zcsocialmedia.clickfunnels.com/salespage.
Had a funny tweet from Diamond Circle.
I thought you were going to say you had a funny turn.
I've had that too. It's my thyroid, darling. Hashimoto's.
I didn't know that.
Autoimmune.
I didn't know you had Hashimoto's.
I have to really avoid...
You've never mentioned it before. Why not?
Avoid soy and grains.
Everybody should avoid soy, to be fair.
Yeah, they should. Do you know that my male hairdresser switched on to soya milk from dairy, thinking it was healthier, and he grew man boobs? And that's
easy. Anyone can do. I don't need soy to do that.
But because the hormones in it.
That means scientifically verified.
And do you also know, you would know this if you listen to Scoff and Quaff, the Superior Show, 11 to 12 on a Tuesday, that America is trying to feed soy to cattle. So they are going to put soy into the whole beef.
It's not just America. Most of the world feeds soy to cattle. 94% of all soy production is for
animal
feed.
But we in England still are holding off. And, you know, if you are going to eat meat, eat pasture-fed and free-range and natural as possible. Anyway.
To avoid man boobs.
Yeah, or women boobs, or thyroid.
I don't want men boobs.
Yeah,
because
if you do, I've got some you can have.
And there's a very simple. If you're doing a stir fry, don't use soy sauce. You can use something called coconut enzymes, which has the same flavour but no soy. Diamond Circle Weddings have tweeted in and said, "Thank you, Jules Serkin. By the way, how do you pronounce Rotem?
Rotem."
Rothm.
When you said it, you said Rotham.
Rotham, yeah.
Yeah, as in Rotham City,
well,
Batman.
It's got a TH.
Yeah, it's Rotham.
Yeah, it's wrong. That should be Routam. I think.
I secretly suspect that they changed all the names during the war just to confuse the Germans if they invaded and asked to go anywhere.
And also they did say, did you know, Vanilla Web, they didn't know that you had this events area at Fruitworks. They said that they can do all your PA and lighting and everything based on a budget, and they can also supply IP64 outdoor lighting and effects.
Blimey.
Oh, I'd love my Christmas lights done if you want to pop round to Tankerton.
Yeah. Go and do Jules' Christmas lights.
Yeah, well, no, because my new husband, I buy all these solar lights and he's hopeless and they never work. Mm. So if you'd like to pop round Tankerton.
Cool. Anyway, enough of that. I want to talk to our guests.
I do.
Yeah, it's about time we talk to our guests. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome back. You have been on before, haven't you, Flirty?
Yes.
Flirty Hutter from University of Kent, Kent Business School. Thank you so much for joining us again.
Thank you.
And we're also joined by Simon Warne of Crow UK. And Deb Turner is still with us.
Whoop, whoop, whoop.
But we're going to start with Flirty because you're kind of the...
ringleader.
Yeah. She's the troublemaker behind all of this.
No, she rolled in late for a start.
Just swanned up. Started,
and she didn't bring Stroop waffles.
Yeah, no. Started talking about clogs and
I'll bring
other
them
stuff.
Yeah. To the summit.
Yeah.
I'm more interested in not the Stroop waffle, the other one, Poopalo Frutti. What was that?
Poopalo Frutti's.
Yeah, I mean, who wouldn't want Frutti's? Who wouldn't want a Poopalo Frutti's?
At my age, quite often now.
It's those sweets, I told you.
Should we get on with this? Yeah.
Let's just talk about Stroopwafels.
So we're here to talk about the January 2020 summit.
I love Paul. He tries to keep the show together, don't you?
Yeah. At the Kent Business School. I don't know why I work with you. At the Kent Business School. This will be the third one?
Third one, yes. Yeah. Third one and growing.
Yeah. So give us an overview of what this summit is all about, Flirty.
Okay. So the summit, the aim of the summit is to bring together local business, local government and academics to talk about how they can work together in sustaining economic growth for the county.
Yeah.
And not just sustaining, but helping to achieve sustainable economic growth in the county, which is, again, something a little bit different.
Absolutely. Now, one of the things I've liked about, I've been to the first two, and I chaired a round table at one of them last year on equality and diversity in the workplace, which was really interesting. But one of the things I like about this is it's not just a talking shop. It is a talking shop, but it isn't just the talking shop.
Yeah, we're trying to kind of carry on from where we left last year. We did that in the second year, and we're doing it again in the third year. Now, last year we came out with a summit report because we basically had a lot of workshops last year around four focus areas, which is transport infrastructure, placemaking for Kent, skills development and productivity. And we are having those themes again this year. So in those 16 workshops, we asked each workshop group to come up with five action points in one of those areas. Yeah. So we published a summit report afterwards, which had a whole lot of really valid actions to be taken in those fields. And we thought this year, rather than doing that all over again and reinventing the wheel once again and coming up with 100 more actions, let's just carry on and let's see what we've actually done with those actions in the last year. And if we haven't done anything with those actions, what are we going
Why
to
not?
Do with
yeah,
them
yeah.
In the coming year?
And I think that's absolutely brilliant, because it is too easy to do the same thing over and over again and think you've achieved something when actually you might probably haven't.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you haven't actually made a difference. So I love that approach to it.
Yeah, so we'll have workshops again in the morning part of the summit. Two rounds, slightly bigger groups, but we've got two rounds so people can actually attend two different workshops. So that's new. From last year, people could only attend one. And we got some feedback that people were really
and we
sorry.
All moaned. We all moaned because I wanted to go to both of them. Yeah.
And, you know, we
they
listened.
Were all good. It was like, it's really difficult to choose because they're all relevant to your business.
Yeah. It was like Bird. Bird rocked up to my one, walked in and went, I didn't know which one to choose because I wanted to go to two. But as I've seen you're doing one, I'm going to the other one.
Well, who can blame her?
I know.
Anyway, so we'll have two rounds, and in each workshop we'll have a 20-minute presentation by the moderators, and we've tried to come up with 2 to 3 moderators per workshop. So and they are a good mix of representatives from either government or business community or academia. And in those 20 minutes, they will say, okay, these are the trends and newest developments in this area, for example, transport infrastructure. Let's reiterate the actions that we came up with last year. Then let's look at what has been achieved. So they'll give an overview of the bigger projects that are ongoing in the area. And then they will give a little bit from their working area, their point of view on what they've been doing. And then they open the stage up to the audience, and it's up to the audience to share any good initiatives that are going on, basically get up, pitch what they're doing.
Right.
And if they're looking for partners, they can do there and then in the room.
Well, a bit like our friend
Guy with
his engineering course.
Yes,
yeah, absolutely.
It would be perfect for him to come and tell everybody what he's doing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love this approach to it. I thoroughly enjoyed the first two that I went to. For me, it was a little bit of an eye-opener. The very first one was a bit of an eye-opener because I went along and there were a lot of people from the public sector there, from County Council, Medway Council and people like that. And I'm thinking, I was pleasantly surprised how much they understood about their own failures, if I can put it that way. Yeah, that they were very open and honest about the things that they weren't doing well and how they were holding things back. And that I found that very refreshing, because as a business person, you get very frustrated with politicians who make decisions about things without always understanding why they've done it. And the trouble with politics is it's very short term, whereas a lot of things are medium to long term in terms of their scope and need. So I found it refreshing that so many of them understood where their limitations were and were keen on how they could address that and move that forward.
I think there's a real collaborative spirit. Yeah. I think we've seen it throughout the last two, and I'm really looking forward to this year's because I think everybody also is coming actually to sit together in the room and see, you know, what binds us, what makes us come together rather than what makes us all different. You know, we're all working on our islands. Let's see how we can make something bigger together.
And without being funny, one of the things, and I that I've done a lot of things in conjunction with the business school at the University of Kent over the years, starting off with the BIG project, which we did a few years back.
Tell us what the BIG was, please.
It's a big business improvement project run by Simon Raby, who's now Professor of Business at Toronto University. Yeah. Wow. But Simon was running the program back then, and we did a whole series. We did 10 programs on it on the Business Bunker Show, one on each sector of the things they brought up. But one of the things I love about the business school at the University of Kent is that they are very, very open to talking to small businesses. Yeah. So many academic institutions and other institutions, when they talk about business, tend to focus on large corporates. And that isn't where it's at anymore. Mm. You know, 99.7% of all businesses are the 5.8 million businesses in the UK are small businesses. And that's where everything's happening. That's where innovation happens. It's, you know, where employment happens. Yeah. 62% of all people employed are employed by small businesses. And, Kent Business School has been very open to that for a number of years, and I think they kind of led the way. And I've always kind of felt that was good too.
We're also really actively trying to involve businesses, not just in our research, but also in our teaching now. So we really want to have businesses in the classroom to be guest speakers, to provide business challenges, to provide case studies. We want to give students that real life experience. We're trying to involve students in certain activities straight with businesses, with an emphasis on small business. So, you know, a small business may come in and present a business challenge. Groups of students will study that and then pitch their solutions. And businesses always come away surprised
it's at
the solutions that are coming out of it.
Yeah.
Again, it's about developing that collaboration, isn't it? And understanding both sides of a street. I love what you were saying. I do. It makes me smile because I'm definitely non-academic me, but I lecture at the London School of Economics to the MBA program there most years, and it always makes me smile because I'm so unacademic, it's unbelievable, and I'm very, something like that, I don't know, some numbers I made up or whatever, and of course that's not how it normally works, but it's interesting because it's always good to have a real world set of examples of something you're doing, you know, because processes and theories are great, but when they collide with the real world, it doesn't always work out like that. So I love all of that kind of stuff. Let's include now Simon and Debs in this. Simon Warne is from Crow UK, who are a substantial firm of accountants and tax consultants.
Yes, thank you.
Tell us a little bit about Crow for those that don't know, Simon.
Well, we are a large firm, like you say. We're probably the ninth largest firm in the United Kingdom, but probably in Kent, we are probably two or three, something like that, in terms of our size. We're also an international business, so unusually perhaps for accounting services in the region, we have a good international reach, which takes our clients, and when our clients go international, we can go there too. I'm a tax partner, so I always start with tax. So it's tax solutions, or it's tax compliance, or it's helping people with their tax strategy. Mm. And going on from that, it quite often leads into business, we help people all the time, but also at key moments in their business. So it could be your first acquisition, your first disposal, or it could be something like business succession. Or it could be any of those things.
Yeah. I saw a graphic the other day, and you might tell me I'm wrong, whatever, about the UK tax code. Apparently the UK tax code now runs to 10 million words.
Yeah, I can't confirm that exactly. But, yeah.
I want to know what they all are.
tax features quite a lot, but it's certainly true that it's still growing. And this is sort of the big problem with our tax code, is that it started out, you know, really quite stable, and some of the sort of legislation that we go back to again and again is quite old and solid, and therefore it's kind of fit for purpose. And you compare that with some of the largest finance bills ever seen over the last 10 years, and you add them all up and stand them on end on end, and it becomes something close to unmanageable.
Absolutely.
You know, to be understood in its entirety by nobody, and even in sort of certain areas, by only a few people.
Yeah.
So it's becoming, I'm afraid, you know, increasingly specialised, increasingly difficult, increasingly unstable, and therefore increasingly difficult to navigate in a safe way.
Absolutely. I actually tried to read the paper on reverse VAT, and it gave me a headache.
That's to do with constructions and the new construction rules.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, I can't think of anything dafter. Yeah, to take entirely the wrong group of people and make the most complicated VAT system that you could possibly could is a recipe for disaster, which is probably why they've shelved it for another year.
Well, I mean, just a word on that, Paul. The reason they're changing things is because the trouble with VAT is there are long chains of businesses, and with construction and in other places too. Sometimes in the middle of that chain, you know, whoever it is who's got the VAT is no longer there anymore.
Yeah.
And so they've decided to concentrate the collection of that VAT at the top end of the chain with the larger businesses. So understandable changes, missing trader fraud, it's called. So you know, you have to do something to stop people running off with the cash.
Yeah, exactly. The trouble is it causes more grief than it solves a problem for them.
It's a change. It's a change. And there are certainly problems that come with high tax rates, and there's certainly problems that come with high VAT rates.
Yeah.
And in particular, for instance, if you're not careful, you can turn businesses into primarily a tax gathering mechanism and only secondarily a business if the tax take is so high and heavy that you know the majority of what's coming over is for the government. So there's a serious problem. I mean, I would say VAT is sometimes viewed as a sort of a free hit by politicians who just raise the rate and think, oh, well, it'll come through the collection mechanism. Mm. But as you more and more front end load it, you could bring more and more problems for cash businesses.
Absolutely, and a lot of small construction firms use VAT as their cash flow,
and they wouldn't be the only business that ever did that. You know, because the numbers are so large.
Yeah,
you know, tax is quite often used by many sorts of businesses as a source of working capital. And it's kind of fine as long as everything's going well. But when you suffer blips, downturns, or, you know, a recession, then suddenly
the wheels come off.
It can be a problem.
Yeah, absolutely. Simon, so I think, is this the second year that Crowe have been involved, or the third?
I think it's the third.
The third year, yeah. So from your point of view as a large accounting firm, what attracted you to support in this venture?
Well, we knew Kent Business School anyway, and that was, I think, why we were able to get in at the start. But what's attractive, and Fletcher has, you know, set it out, I think, very well, it is that interface between academia on the one side, public sector on the other, and the private sector on the other. I don't know many other events that actually seek to bring those people who may not have always things in common and don't always work together. You know, they will interface at certain areas, but actually bring them together into the same room to sort of work about the same problems.
Absolutely.
So I think it's profile for us. You know, we're proud to be associated with it. But also, I think it's doing something that's a little bit different. So we're absolutely happy to support it.
I absolutely get what you're saying about that as well. I do a number of projects with Kent County Council and one or two government departments, and one of the things I get interminably frustrated with is their desire to keep reinventing the wheel. You know, they always want to do it their way, and you go, yeah, well, hold on a minute, there's already one of those in Kent, why don't we just join them and do it together? No, we'll do it our way. And I find that so frustrating. And one of the lovely things I like about the summit is it's trying to break down those barriers and bring people together to collaborate and talk about doing those things on a collaborative basis. I fully get that. And then for you, Deborah, and the Federation of Small Business, I mean, I guess it's fairly obvious why you want to be involved, but have you got any further thoughts to add to that?
Just really echoing what both Simon and Flirty have said, but it, for us as well, it's very much around that kind of hearing it, businesses sharing their best practices in the room. For us, that's invaluable, in able to be able to feed that back. And then, as you say, because we are tapping into the academia as well, we're getting new innovation, new ideas around how business can work to make Kent the best place to live and work. Mm. So for us, it's brilliant in terms of feeding back to our members. And the other thing that we find that's brilliant, that what we've seen happen, and we've, again, been involved in all 3 years, is this kind of partnership building. So what we've seen on the back of it is, you know, some of our members and certainly businesses start to work together to try and solve some of the issues that we know we've got in Kent. Kent's brilliant at many things, but we know infrastructure's an issue.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We know, you know, skill shortages is an issue. Mm. And it's an opportunity for us to start to talk to businesses, talk to local government, and actually understand the frustrations and start to really work together. So it's a brilliant platform, the summit, for conversations and relationships to start.
And how receptive is local government when you do talk to them?
Actually, I mean, certainly in terms of the relationships we've been able to make and build at the summit, they've been good. They've taken on board the comments that we've made, and I think they're starting to recognise that to make Kent a bigger and better place, they've got to kind of start to embrace change. I mean, Medway, for example, you know, they've recently just won some HIF, so it's Housing Investment Funding, for the Hoo Peninsula. And that's kind of on the back of recognising that they've got to kind of be doing this joined up approach, because Medway are their own unitary authority. But I think they were heavily involved in the first summit and have continued to be involved. So I think it's that recognising that, you know, Kent isn't its own little island, but actually when we work together, we can do bigger and better things.
It's interesting. I actually chaired the Medway Skills Conference a few weeks back, which was a first one that they'd staged. And again, the Medway Council was starting to recognise, it was all about skill shortages, but they were starting to, again, they were trying to bring together people that worked in the public sector, Job Centre Plus, colleges and the universities over in Medway, with businesses to try to understand what businesses want from educational institutions and for skills and stuff like that. And we had some interesting stuff, and you could probably imagine how some of it went. We had a chap from City and Guilds coming and talking about their qualifications, and that caused a bit of a laugh amongst some of the businesses. But again, it was an open dialogue, and that's what we need. We need to start addressing some of these issues, otherwise they're never going to get solved. If you've got two camps of people, the 30-30 program that we do with the FSB in schools started exactly the same way. I chaired an event six years ago now, which was an event talking about Ebbsfleet Garden City. Mm-hmm. Okay, mm-hmm. At a time when the politicians were trying to push that as a big thing to do, and the politicians all came along, and their big selling point was it was going to create jobs, and everybody in the audience went, get lost, we can't even fill the jobs we've got, we don't want any more jobs, we want people to fill the jobs. And one or two of the more vociferous businesses started to lay into the education sector about being not fit for purpose. But a large part of the audience were head teachers who then got the ump with that. So in order to try and pour oil on troubled waters, what we did is we came up with a program that said, actually, wouldn't it be better if we just spoke to each other? Mm-hmm. Which is where we developed the 30-30 program to take businesses into schools, to talk to schools and students about what the world of work actually needs outside of your GCSEs, which they don't really care about. We've had, nearly 1,400 students through that program now, so it's been good.
And it's now, you know, expanding.
And now it's national, in fact, yes, it went national. And Lord Harris of Carpet fame, the original DFS sale man, for those that remember that are old enough with his carpet sales, he's the ambassador for 30-30 and other things. But he ran the first one in London of the 30-30. And they also ran one on the Isle of Wight for some strange reason. So we've gone international, I think. So back to Fergie and the Kent Summit. When's it taking place, Fergie?
Friday the 10th of January from 9 till 3:30. So we've got a full day. So the morning will be workshops. The afternoon will be three really interesting speakers. Phil Eckersley from the Bank of England, Sam Turner from the High Value Manufacturing Catapult, who will share with us his ideas on productivity and adding value. And then a special shout out to our third speaker, which is Benita Matowska. She's a change maker and an advocate for the sharing economy, and she will talk all about being a sustainable business and adding social and environmental value to your product or service.
Fabulous.
And I expect a really great presentation there.
Absolutely.
She's worked on national, international level. She's a heavyweight.
Yeah, absolutely.
ESG.
And again, you know, the sharing economy, one of the things that we have to face is rapid change. Yeah, change is happening at a faster and faster pace now. We've got loads of things to cope with, loads of changes happening in the way we do things, in terms of flexible working, in terms of sharing, in terms of collaboration. There's so many things happening. And then we've got all the nonsense on top of that with artificial intelligence and the fact we're all going to die, killed by Terminators or something.
or they'll be our domestic servants.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I'm old enough to remember Tomorrow's World back in the late 1960s when none of us were going to have a job by 1980.
And we'd have electric cars going everywhere, rails.
And the one thing, I write to the BBC on a regular basis and say, I still haven't got my personal jetpack. And you promised that to me in 1972, and I haven't got one.
You know what? My Alexa, which is a year old, I've got three in the house, has stopped listening, so I have to absolutely scream at her now.
Mind you, I don't blame her, to be honest. I have sympathy for Alexa in your house.
I mean, it's true, Waffle.
Yeah.
Maybe. But she's not listening, and I think it's some sort of, thing where they want me to buy a new one now. I don't know if she can be rebooted, but we have to scream and shout at her to stop.
Typical.
Mm-hmm. Can I do a shout out?
Of course.
In relation to the summit, to the many companies who are so kindly supporting us, apart from head sponsor Crowe, which are Braitchers, Southeastern Railway, and Santander. So yeah, we're very grateful for the support we're getting from our sponsors.
Mm.
And apart from the FSB, of course, we have two other loyal summit partners, which are located in Kent and the Audi.
Fantastic. Yeah, of course. It's going to be a great event. Do come along. It's on the 10th of January. It's taking place at the Sibson Building, which is on the campus at Canterbury there. It's a gorgeous building. It's worth coming just to look at a building,
beautiful,
isn't it?
Yeah. It's a really lovely venue.
Who designed the building? Was it Rogers?
Crikey.
I think it was the Rogers Partnership.
It did get a REBA award.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, got a fantastic award.
It's a fantastic building.
It looks like a forest of silver birch.
Absolutely. It's gorgeous.
Lovely put.
Yeah. So if people want to come along, which they do, of course, you all do, and we'll see you all there, how do they go about booking their space and finding out all that's going on?
Okay. So they can either go through the website, which is kent.ac.uk/KBS, and then just go to our news section and find the Kent Business Summit news item and all directions are there. Or go directly to Eventbrite and look for Kent Business Summit, which might be easier.
Yep. And or if you fail any of those, if you go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/KBS, all the details are there, and there's a booking link straight to the Eventbrite page. So do check that out. Listen, guys, thank you so much for that. We're really looking forward to the summit again this year. Thank you for your support for the summit, Deb and Simon and all the other partners of it. And thank you to Flergy and her team for organising and putting this event on. It's a fabulous event. It really is a good event. And I'm looking forward to it, and I'll be there. And I hope to see you all there too. It's an opportunity to come and get involved, and, you know, it's no good moaning and ranting about things. When you've got an opportunity to talk to people about it, take it. Come along and find out what's going on. And one of the great things about interfacing with academic institutions is you suddenly find out how much data they've got on stuff as well, which is always really interesting. Yeah. So I like raiding their vaults. the research day, it's like talking about Phil Eckersley from the Bank of England.
Yeah.
It's always great to listen to when you find out how the Bank of England start to put together some of their economic planning. It is actually quite scary, some of the things that they have to think about when they're doing it. And it's interesting. So come along and listen. For the moment, guys, thank you so much for that. It's been a pleasure to talk to you this afternoon. Do stay with us for the remaining few minutes of the show. But for Deb, Simon and Flergy, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Right, what you got, Jules?
The lovely Lisa Settle, who's listening in, says, @VanillaWeb, @JulesSirkin, great to hear from Flergy. I've not seen not been to Kent Summit. Hope to make the next one in January. Love how Kent Biz School combines learning with Kent businesses and students, both so valuable in the community. So thank you for that, Lisa. And also Diamond Weddings have popped up and said, B Bunker, the at DC Squirrel. Do you know DC Squirrel?
Yeah, yeah. That's Paul Manville. Yeah.
He's one of the Diamond Circle wedding people. And he says Rotham or Rotham or Rootham.
Yeah, but he's wrong. He's a Scouser. That's why he says it wrong.
Well, they say he's from Sussex.
So. Yeah, yeah. But he's been living in Liverpool. It's rubbed off on him.
And then Compare and Recycle say, thank you, Vanilla Webb and Jules Serkin, for mentioning Green Tuesday on Business Bunker Show earlier today. A simple step as recycling an old phone can have major impact when multiplied by millions of people. So let's strive for a more sustainable relationship with our tech. So that's great. I actually sent some old phones and computers to Africa that were wiped by a local person. So it is good. It makes you feel good too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go and burrow in my drawers when I get home and find...
I've got a blog up at the moment, which you might find interesting.
Yeah.
Which is five companies making a big difference in Africa. Five UK companies that are making a big difference in Africa.
Yeah, that is... I think I retweeted, but I'll have another look at that.
Yeah, yeah. It's campusradio.co.uk/Africa. If you want to read the book.
I will. And, yeah. And what I loved, we did a project for the Côte d'Ivoire, a first shopping mall, mall, whatever it is, and we used my Kent designer and a Kent translator to do the French-English. And it was lovely to work with Africa but use our local Kent people.
Africa as a continent is going to be a happening place over the next decade or so.
Well, it's... Nigeria will overturn and overtake USA in about 20 years because of the young population and mobile phones, of course, heading for banking.
It's actually really interesting if you look at Africa as a continent. There are just shy of 1 billion people who live in Africa, and there are just over 800 million mobile phones in use currently.
Exactly.
Yeah. And if you look at East Africa and spreading, the M-Pesa app is what's liberated people because it's freed them from having the government mess with their money. And they use mobile phones now as a currency through a Vodafone app, actually, called M-Pesa, which has enabled people to earn their money and get paid and not... have it held up by various dictatorial governments.
Yeah.
It's the liberation of Africa is a great thing to watch and to see it unfold. For those of us that are older and remember harrowing pictures of Africa from Biafra and Ethiopia back in the 70s, how that has changed in the space of 50 years is unbelievable. I want to tell you about an event that's coming up in 2020. It's the Venues and Events Expo Southeast, and we'll be opening the doors to the third annual Vexpo in 2020. We'll be hosting Vexpo in a brand new venue in central southeast of England. There'll be more than 80 amazing exhibitors showcasing the very best venues and suppliers based in the southeast, giving you the chance to connect with them and get to know what they can offer you and your clients. Plus, we'll be running some fam trips. Not fam weekends, fam trips after the expo to allow you to truly experience what the Southeast has to offer. Put the date in your diary and we will send you more details as soon as we officially launch next month. The date is going to be Thursday the 14th of May. It's going to be between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. and you're going to find out all about it by going to www.venueseventsexpo.co.uk. What you got, Jules?
Well, you can visit Canterbury and it's preparing to promote the city internationally for 2020. It's set to be a magnificent year for tourism in Canterbury as several events in the city will put Kent on the map for international attraction. So the first event is going to be Beckett 2020, making 850 years. You remember him, Thomas Beckett. Was murdered in Canterbury Cathedral. Medieval events are planned with a focus on pilgrimage and highlighting Canterbury's UNESCO World Heritage status. Then you've got the Lambeth Conference, which is July and August, which is a gathering of all the active bishops with the Archbishop of Canterbury. And that happens only once every 10 years. And then you've got the 400th, it's all happening in Canterbury, 400th anniversary of the Mayflower Canterbury, one of the first pilgrim voyages to America organised by Robert Cushman, who lived in the city. Weren't you the tea boy on that?
Yep.
Thought you were. And then the 75th anniversary of UNESCO World Heritage Site of the Collective Canterbury Cathedral, which is the St. Augustine's Abbey and St. Martin's Church. Then you have a Folkestone Triennial. What, why is that coming in? I don't know. Folkestone Triennial. Say triennial?
Yeah.
One of the UK's most ambitious public art projects, attracting 135,000 visitors. So that must be in Folkestone, I'm assuming. 149th Golf Open in Sandwich, where everyone in Kent is letting out their houses and earning millions, apparently. Global sporting event, 60% of tickets are already sold. And then the fabulous Dreamlands is their 100th, must be birthday. The Margate theme park turns 100, yes, next year, 2020. And then 150-year anniversary of Kent County Cricket Club. A special programme of events is to be announced. And then 150 years since Charles Dickens died. Strong literary links to Rochester and Canterbury. So to find out more, go to canterbury.co.uk/membership. Or you can contact Catherine with an R-Y-N at the end of her name and a K at the beginning. Catherine.Herndon, H-E-A-R-N-D-E-N, at canterbury.gov.uk. I'm sure it's on your website by now, Paul Andrews.
Yep. Thank you for that.
Visit Canterbury.
I've got two very urgent things to do before we run out of time. I've got a tweet from the Romney Resource Centre. Hi, Paul. Fantastic show today. Romney Resource Centre is running a raffle for all of our supporters, and you have until December the 18th to sign up. And there's a fantastic set of prizes. Follow them on the Twitter, Romney Resource RRC. I need to tell you, I've had a tweet from Paul Manville that just says Scouser. Ah, yeah, he's not a Scouser. I was making that up. Just to let you know that the Business Bunker Extra Show on Friday with the lovely Amanda Flanders is at 11 a.m. and her co-host this week is Julie Daniel and their guest is Tanya Emery. So do tune in for the Business Bunker Extra Show, 11 a.m. on Friday, 11 till 12, with Amanda and Julie and their guest Tanya Emery here on bizradio.co.uk. But that's it for another week. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back next week with another Business Bunker show. Take care, have a fantastic week, and we'll see you all soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye for now.
Bye.
The
Business Bunker with Paul Andrews. This is Channel 2.